It's from 1 Samuel. You can read this in your own time at leisure, but it's an amazing story, and there's some really profound truths that come out of this little section, really. So let's just pray first, eh? Father, thank you for your word. You've spoken. Give us ears to hear, and not just that, Lord, but hearts to follow it, Lord, when we've heard what you've said. So grant us your mercy and your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the interesting thing about Samuel is that he's the sort of link man between the book of Judges and Kings. He's the last of the judges, and he introduces the kings, Saul and David, eventually, of course. So this man's a really strategic and important person. So we're going to find out how he came to be in the first place. So here we have the story. It begins with, "There was a certain man in the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children." Now then, just to let you know, the Bible may tell you that there are people who have more than one wife, but it doesn't say it approves of them. You knew that though, didn't you? The Bible tells you that the devil exists, but it doesn't tell you that God approves of him. Jesus takes us back right to the beginning, Adam and his wife Eve. One wife, one husband, together. Right? That's the idea, and that's what God's plan was. Anyway, this, in their time, they obviously have bent the rules rather. Anyway, he's married to two wives. And if anybody's in any doubt that marrying two wives is a bad idea, they should read the Bible. Because whenever you find there's multiple wives, what's the problem? They fall out with each other. There's tensions all the time, and this is the case here. In this picture we have Hannah at the front there. She in a sense is the favourite, though she has no children. And the girl at the back, Peninnah, she's got the kids, but she's a nasty piece of work really, from what we can work out. Anyway, that's the situation at the time when it starts. Now then. Now this man used to go up year by year from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh. So he came from Ramah south and he headed up to Shiloh. Now then, Shiloh is the place where at that time it was the capital of Israel in Samuel's time, in the time of Judges. It was where the tabernacle had been set up. So that was the focal point for the worship of the Jewish people. And God had laid down the law in time of Moses that all the men were to go up to worship the Lord 3 times a year. And so they did that. They were observant people. He loved the Lord. Yeah. And so that's what they used to do. They used to go and worship up there. Right. Now, her rival, this is Peninnah, used to provoke Hannah grievously to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. And as often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. And therefore, Hannah wept and would not eat. Isn't that great, eh? Isn't it marvellous how people can pick on something that others have some difference or whatever and go nasty, you know? There's nothing new under the sun, is there? So, that's what they do. She gives her a hard time, and poor old Hannah is browbeaten by this other wife. Very sad. Anyway, one time she goes there, and it says, she was deeply distressed, and prayed to the Lord, and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow, and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life." And she continued praying before the Lord. Eli observed her mouth. So she was praying in her heart. Good news about that. The Lord can hear what you say inside you, as well as what you speak out. And so she's praying out of her distress. And do you think she's making a deal with God? You know, if you do this, Lord, I'll do that. Well, I don't think so. You don't make deals with God, I'll tell you that. It doesn't work. It's not good. I think she's really saying is, Lord, if you will bless me, I will make sure that blessing continues to flow out and that this child that you give me will be a blessing for you. Yeah, so he's committed to the Lord before he's even conceived. Isn't that wonderful, eh? So little Samuel is going to be quite a guy. We can tell you that for nothing, yeah? Anyway, she's praying, and she's praying with her heart, but her lips are moving. And her lips are moving, and Eli, the high priest, sees her. And what does he do? He tells her off. And Eli said to her, "How long will you go on being drunk? put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered, No, my lord, I'm a woman troubled in spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I've been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Now, isn't that amazing, yeah? If you got told off, what would you do? You'd give them an ear bashing, wouldn't you? But here she is, the gentle soul that she is. She says, I'm not drunk, sir. I'm not drunk at all. I'm pouring out my heart. And he, graciously, thankfully, says something like, I'm sorry. He doesn't actually have those words there, but I suppose he did. And he says, well, may the Lord answer your prayers. May the Lord bless you. Right. So that was good, eventually. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called him Samuel, for she said, I've asked for him from the Lord. Now, the word Samuel means God hears, or asks of the Lord, or it can also mean the name of God. But it really is that God hears. That's what it's about. He's an answer to prayer. Isn't that wonderful, eh? I wonder how many mums have been telling little ones that have answers to prayer. Well, this was one anyway. Right, and when she had weaned him, do you know how long they used to wean babies by? I mean, how long they used to keep them at home?
Not
2 years at least. So 2 to 3 years by the time's gone, by the time we get to this little scene. So when she'd weaned him, probably a bit older I should think, when she'd weaned him, she took him up with her to the house of the Lord at Shiloh, and the child was young, a little fella. And she said, O my Lord, as long as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence, praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. And what do you think Eli thought? Remember, he's getting old now. He probably thought, I don't remember that. Get like me, you know. It was me. I was here a few years ago, and I prayed, and you prayed for me, and God's answered our prayers. And he thinks, that's great, but I don't remember it. But I might be wrong, but there you are. The Lord's granted my petition. And then she says, therefore I've lent him to the Lord. I'm handing him back, and as long as he lives, he's lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. How do you think little Samuel felt? 3-year-old boy being handed over to this stranger. He's going to look after him, and mum and dad go back home. Must be strange, really. I don't know how he felt, but anyway, he seems to have coped with it, bless him. So Eli has now become a dad again. He's got to raise this little fellow. And Hannah, while she's there, before she goes home, it says, Hannah prayed and said, My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. And so basically he's saying, so there, Pinina. God bless me now, you see. But that's not what it's about. She's thanking God for what he's done. And this prayer that Hannah makes is very similar to the prayer that Mary gave when she gave thanks to the Lord about the birth of Jesus. If you read that in Luke's Gospel, Hannah is a sort of free forerunner of all that, really. Anyway, she praises the Lord, my heart rejoices in the Lord, the God of my salvation. And then she says this as part of her worship prayer, The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and he will give strength to his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed. And one of the remarkable things about what she says there is, although the word anointed is used before, because they anointed the tabernacle, they anointed the priests and all of that, she's using the word anointed about a king who is coming, because they didn't have kings then. And so she's talking about, and the word anointed in Hebrew is Messiah. Right? So she's the first person who uses the word Messiah about the Messiah. It's amazing, isn't it? This dear woman that prayed to the Lord for a boy. Yeah? Okay, so there she is. She's thanking the Lord, and then she goes back home, of course. And it says, And Samuel's mother used to make for him a little robe and take it to him each year when she went up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. So she made a little coat for him every year that she went. So what would that tell Samuel?
She
cared about him. She loved him. Yeah, she hadn't dumped him. She loved him. She'd handed him over to the Lord. And I'm sure that made a lot of difference for little Samuel as well. So his mum made him a special coat. each year. Right. And so she goes up to visit, and it says, indeed, the Lord visited Hannah, and she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters. So she's off to a flying start, wasn't she? Three sons and two daughters, not including Samuel, of course. So it's quite a family, keep her quiet for a while, won't it? There we are. So the Lord blessed her. And now we move on to the story of Samuel, really. That was how Samuel came into this world. A real answer to prayer, heard from God. That's what was the answer was. Now, Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy clothed with a linen ephod. And the boy Samuel continued to grow both in stature and in favour with the Lord and also with man. So people met him around about the tabernacle, and they got to like this little fellow. He was quite a nice little boy, I guess, and is a real blessing to Eli as well, and a help. So he helped him around the temple, what we call it, the tabernacle. And he was a little priest. He had his linen ephod with him as well. So he learnt the trade from the dear old man. But Eli had two sons. The sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord. That's sad, isn't it? Yeah. How did they turn out so badly when you got a good old boy like Eli? How did they turn out so badly? Well, I think we'll find a little clue from what goes on a bit later on. The sin of the young men was very great in the sight of the Lord, for the men treated the offering of the Lord with contempt. They picked bits of meat they wanted. They wouldn't let them sacrifice to the Lord first. They chose the best bits instead of God. And they were even sleeping with women that turned up at the tent to worship as well. So they were a thoroughly disgusting pair, these two sons of Eli. What a mess. Eh? And what happens is, God sends a prophet along. We don't know his name. He says, there came a man of God to Eli, who said to him, thus says the Lord, why do you scorn my sacrifices and my offerings as I commanded for my dwelling, and honour your sons above me, by fattening yourselves on the choicest parts of every offering of my people Israel? It's a final warning God's sending to him, and he's saying is, you're showing favoritism to your sons. You're treating them how they shouldn't be treated. Yeah? And do you think that's how the boys turned? I can't blame all parents for bad kids, you know. But do you think he wasn't a very good dad with them? He didn't discipline them. He obviously didn't discipline them. And so they just grew up spoiled brats. I have my way and I want my things now, you know. It's very sad.
Same as David,
yeah. Yeah, a brilliant general and a lousy father, wasn't he? Yeah. Anyway, this is a fact.
Both men come out pretty badly. Elkanah.
They do, don't they?
He didn't hear your teaching about one woman to love.
Well, yeah.
So he didn't stand up for Hannah at all, did he?
No.
And she was doing the lead, taking Samuel to the temple and so on.
But this is Eli that we're talking about here. He actually turns out to be a good dad, if in inverted commas, a good dad to Samuel, but a terrible dad to his boys. And so they've grown up now, and they're in a bit of a bad old way. They're not doing what they should. And so he says, and he said to them, why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all these people. No, my sons, it is no good report that I hear the people of the Lord spreading abroad. If someone sins against a man, God will mediate for him. That if someone sins against the Lord, who can intercede for him? So Eli goes and tells them off. Why are you doing this? What should he have done? I mean, they're too old to treat as children now, aren't they? What should he have done? He's the high priest, remember. What he should have done is saying, if you don't repent and change your ways, you're out of a job. Out. Yeah? At least give them the chance to... This is a warning, yeah? The final warning, yeah? He tells them, he says, if you don't... He doesn't say this, but he should have said this. If you don't change your ways, you're out. But he says, well, if you don't change your ways, God's going to deal with you. Well, that's true as well, but that's not going to... He's got to do something. It's no good just telling them. So, anyway, that's what he should have done. That's my thoughts, anyway. So, God steps in. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. It was in the tent. They had these little oil lamps, you know. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am." So God woke him up, called him Samuel. But Samuel ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, lie down again." Now I think there's something really marvellous and wonderful about this in several instances. Number one is, Samuel thought it was Eli calling him. So what kind of voice did God use to call him? It sounds like Eli, doesn't it? It must have, I mean, it sounded a bit like Eli. That's why he thought it was Eli calling him. Yeah, so God isn't frightening him with some big mountainous terrible voice. He's sort of calling him with a gentle call, by his name, of course. God knows his name. God knows your name as well, of course. And when he goes to Eli and wakes him up, what would your reaction be if you were woken up in the middle of the night and said, "What do you want?" Yeah, well, Eli isn't a bad old boy, really, in his own way, is he? And he says, "No, I didn't call you. Lie down again." Okay. Whether he thought something, or he didn't say it anyway. So he says, "No, it wasn't me, Samuel. Go and sit down again. Go and lie down. Go to sleep." So, and then he goes down, lies down again, and the Lord called again, "Samuel." So, Samuel, thinking it's Eli again, goes up. He arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. How you called me?" But he said, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." So if you got woken up the second time, what would you think? Yes, yes. He's getting a bit of a nuisance, this boy, isn't he? No, well, he doesn't say that. He just said, "I did not call my son." Yeah, that's in the term of affection. Yeah, so he's not falling out with him. And the interesting thing, to my mind, is when Samuel is called, what does he do? He gets up and he responds. You know, he's an obedient little fella. That's good, isn't it? So, back to sleep. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. So, young Samuel is not acquainted with God revealing things and speaking. He says he didn't know the Lord. Well, he knew about God. He'd learned a lot from Eli, I guess. But the important thing for Samuel and for all others is we have to have a personal revelation of God, don't we? We have to have a personal relationship with him. And that's what's going to happen with this young fellow. He's coming into a new phase of his life, beginning with the Lord. Yeah? And it says, "And the Lord called Samuel again the third time." Right, so Samuel, and Samuel gets up, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Do you know why the Lord called Samuel three times? Because Eli was a bit dull in getting the message. Yeah. And sometimes the Lord has to knock on our door a few times before you get the point, you know. Anyway, Eli gets it at last.
I say, it is said that you have to tell people something you want them to know three times before they hear you.
All right, yeah, well, maybe that's, yeah, well, Eli's no different, is he? Well, when you've been woken up in the night, I think he's got your attention, but anyway, he finally got the message. Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" Now, I think that's really nice. Eli is aware that God's at work on this little fellow, and so he tells him how to respond. Is that lovely, yeah? Yeah, he says, "Now, you just, if he talks to you again, yeah, you just say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So he says, you approach him humbly and ask him to tell you what he wants to say. Yeah, so he's giving wise instruction to the young fella. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Do you think he went to sleep again? I don't think so. I think he's waiting now, but you never know. Anyway, he said, "The Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.'" Now, interestingly, it says this time, the Lord came and stood. Now, this is obviously, to my mind, it's a vision, yeah, a manifestation, yeah, of the presence of God.
Yeah.
It is, in fact, Jesus. I mean, before Jesus was born, yeah? So he comes and stands before this little fella And he has a meeting with God. I mean, this is going to make a difference to him, isn't it? That's just as he was before, but he says, Samuel, Samuel. And now he recognizes it's the Lord talking to him. Right, so we've got it at last. So Samuel now gets up and Samuel said, speak, for your servant hears. Right, so he's doing what dear old Eli told him to do. He said, yeah, please Lord, I'm listening. Tell me what you want to say. And then listen to what he's told. Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. That means your ears are going to start buzzing with what you've heard. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I've spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. So God says, it's over. No more warnings. I am now going to do what I threatened to do. He didn't do anything about it. He talked to the boys, but he didn't stop them. And so now, not only his boys are going to face the music, but his descendants are now going to be disconnected from the priesthood. That's what's going to happen eventually in the time of King Solomon. But that's what's going to happen. His house is not going to be part of the priestly tribe anymore in the end, yeah? And so he says, because you didn't deal with those boys, I'm going to deal with them, right? And God's basically saying is, I've told you, I've warned you, now there are no paths back. That's it. Time, it's over. Samuel lay until morning. So he goes back to bed. Do you think he slept?
No.
I don't think he did, not with news like that.
Why did he tell the boy Samuel instead of sending Eli then?
He's told him already.
Yeah, but he's not coming back the second time to tell him this is the end, is it? He's telling the boy,
yes, because... Because God says, I'm going to replace you, Eli. Yeah? You aren't doing the job, I'm going to replace you. Who is he going to replace him by?
Samuel.
So he's preparing the boy to replace him. Yeah. And Samuel is going to be a prophet as well, you see. So he's going to have to hear from God for himself. So it's all part of that preparation. Yeah. So Samuel lay there until the morning, and then he got up as normal, opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. He got very busy. He was cleaning the lamps, brushing the floor, polishing the furniture, doing everything apart from see Eli, I suspect. That's what it, because he wanted to keep away from him. But, da-da-da-da, the old boy comes to him, but Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son? Oh dear. And he said, here I am. And Eli said, what was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God so do to you, and more also, if you hide anything from me of all that he told you. So he's saying, now son, tell it to me straight. I know God's told you something. Tell me what he said. Right? So, Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. And if you read the rest of the story, within a matter of days or whatever, his two sons are killed in battle, and Eli, at the news of the capture of the ark, falls over, breaks his neck, and he's gone. He's died as well. So that's the end, and just as God had said. So, but Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord, it's what Eli said. So, what was the ultimate test for God? I mean, remember this chap, young Samuel, is just starting his job as a prophet. Isn't he? First prophecy he's given. Right? The first prophecy he's given is an absolute killer. You know? And what's the test for Samuel? His test is, does he tell it as it is? Or is he going to smooth it over? Or leave bits out? You know? And that's got to be the case. For anybody who is a servant of God, you have to tell it as it is. I mean, we try to speak the truth in love, but you have to speak the truth. And so Samuel passes the test tremendously, of course he does. He tells it as it is. even though it was a difficult thing he had to say. And I suspect he didn't find anything much more difficult than that for the rest of his life in some ways. But question I have here as well is, and it's a bit of an ambiguous one in a way, Samuel says all that's going to happen to Eli and his family, and Eli's reply, Eli listened quietly, because he knew it was from God, and he says, "It is the Lord, let him do what seems good to him." So what do you think of Eli's response? Does he
humble.
Say, it's humble, I think it is. He's really saying, "It is the Lord." In a way, it's a confirmation to Samuel as well. That was God talking to you. Yeah, that was God talking to you. And let him do what seems good to him. He's the God, he's in charge. That's one way of looking at it. And I think that's what he's saying. He's actually being humbled by it. Yeah, he really says, "I failed, I've let God down. Well, let him deal with it as he pleases." Yeah. I mean, the alternative is, I don't know if you know, but in the time of King Hezekiah, when the prophet came to him, Isaiah came to him, the prophet, and Hezekiah had just shown the Babylonian envoys all around his palace. He'd shown them all the stuff, the gold and the treasures and everything else. And Isaiah comes to Hezekiah and says to him, he says, "What have you just done?" He says, "Oh, I showed them all around. They came to console me over my sickness, you know." He says, I just showed them around. And what, he says, "What did you show them?" He says, "Oh, I showed them everything." And Isaiah turns to him, he says, "Do you realize that the days are coming when they're going to clean you out? They've done a stock take of all you've got, and one day they're going to turn up and clean you out." Yes? And then Isaiah goes away, and he says, Hezekiah says, "That's good." "That's good, because it won't happen in my time." Yeah, "I'm all right, Jack." I don't think that's what Eli's thinking. "I'm all right, Jack, yeah? Let the Lord do what he wants, yeah?" So, I think he's humbled by it, and he realizes that God is going to deal with him. Right, so, and then lastly, I think my last one's now. "And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba," that's from the north to the south, "knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord." So, God's backing business, because he's got a man who's willing to listen and to do what he's told. Yeah, and that's really important. If God's going to work, we need to be people who listen to him and do it as he says and tell it as it is. Yeah, that's really important. I think, so, the life of Samuel is a really amazing lesson, I think, in many ways, you know. And here's this young lad receiving something from God right at the beginning of his ministry, and he's faithful with that. And from there on, it says, none of his words fall to the ground. If Samuel said it was from the Lord, you could put it down as that was it. Guaranteed, yeah? And everybody comes to realize God's at work back in Shiloh. Because it was a shambles in Eli's day, wasn't it? The sons were putting people off going. But now Samuel's back in business here. Well, the Lord begins to reveal himself again.